Why do you harbor evil thoughts in your heart? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. The little flower, St. Therese, had, as many of you well know, the duty of sacristan. And many of you now are finding out just how hard a job that is. We've had to divide the job of just a couple of people among many people in our chapel, and there's much to do. And she had all of these same concerns and worries in the sacristy. But she daily arranged the altar with very great care, took good care of the altar linens, making sure they were clean and well-pressed, and the other sacred objects that were reserved for the beautiful ceremonies of the church. Well, one day, as she was in the convent, she was arranging flowers. That was one of her favorite jobs to do, and she was methodically arranging them. And then another nun walked in and passed a critical remark, just a petty thing, but critical nonetheless. She told the little flower, "It's easy to see that these largest bouquets were sent by your family. And of course, the ones that were sent by the poor, well, they'll be hidden away behind those." And Therese did what very few of us, I think, could do in a circumstance like that. She said nothing. She did not even roll her eyes or let out a sigh. She did nothing except what she was famous for, her smile. She smiled at the nun and continued on with her work. And when Therese had finished, the flowers that were donated by the poor were in the most prominent places, while those of her family were in the back. And the other nun, later walking into the chapel and seeing it, felt very humiliated, and she had apologized for her rash judgment. And we ourselves, though, we might be passing judgment on this nun, that she would think such a thing of a saint. But let's be honest with ourselves. How often do we do the same thing and rashly judge our neighbors? What is rash judgment? That's what we'll talk about today. It is defined in moral theology as the firm assent of the will to suspicions about others without any sufficient grounds. It is a willful suspicion. That means it must be done purposely, with your knowledge, and without any real reason. It is a judgment rather than an opinion. It is to say, this person is a sinner, and you believe it with all your heart, yet without any proof whatsoever. That is rash judgment. And this type of judgment is displeasing to God and is a sin against two of the virtues, actually. It is a sin, first of all, against justice, because everyone has a right to be thought well of until the moment he gives up this right by some certain and proven sin. And it is a sin against charity, for charity obliges us to think no evil. St. Paul even tells us that. He says, charity thinketh no evil whatsoever. And it tells us, charity does, to throw a cloak of kindness over the apparent failings of others. That is, don't pay attention to them. Don't condemn everything that you see. We'll get to that more later. But rash judgment is committed more often than we realize. It is committed by those who, for example, conceive a dislike for another upon the first meeting. And then rashly, without any grounds, they judge that person to be a sinner. How often we do this on our first meeting with somebody. We get all these impressions about him and think he must be this way. He must be a sinner sometimes. Maybe he's a drunkard. Maybe he's doing drugs. We have all these rash judgments on the first meeting, and yet we judge without knowing a thing about him in reality. And how often, though, we express this judgment, this dislike for this person or that one, and then when we're asked by someone, why do you think that way? Our only answer is, well, I don't know. I just don't. How often that happens. We can give no solid basis for our judgment. We can't judge somebody upon the first meeting. For justice tells us we must not judge without sufficient grounds. And charity tells us, think no evil. It is this sin of rash judgment is committed by those who attribute the acts of others to bad motives. The story of St. Therese at the beginning of the sermon. We cannot judge someone's motives, no matter what we might think. This power and this ability belongs to God alone, who knows the most secret thoughts that are hidden from everyone else. If we take upon ourselves this judgment, then we are usurping God's role. And if we are going to do that, then we should allow others also free rein to judge us. Can you see, for example, my motives in giving this sermon to you this morning? I could be preaching out of vanity and pride. I could be preaching for higher motives, that is, for the glory of God and the salvation of souls, or maybe just simply out of a duty. I have to do it on a Sunday. It is duty, and if I don't do it, I'm sinning. You do not know my motives, but I'm sure every one of you gives the priest the benefit of the doubt. He's doing it for the glory of God. That's what we're called to do. Not just towards the priest, but towards everyone. To attribute only good motives to others. And me, on my part, I cannot judge why you are here today at Mass. Maybe, again, it's just simply to avoid committing a mortal sin. Maybe you are here just because your parents dragged you here. Maybe you're here only out of the love of God. I cannot judge anything unless you tell me what your motives are. I must attribute only good motives to each and every one of you, because charity tells me, think no evil. We commit rash judgment when we conclude that someone is a habitual sinner simply because we see him commit a sin once. For instance, you see a person getting drunk once, and you automatically assume, well, he's a drunkard. Or you see somebody get angry once, and you say that he must be that way all the time. Or he's cranky when he shows up to work that morning, and you think, well, what a crank. He's always this way. Well, that's rash judgment. You can't be that way. You can't judge someone on one incident. We commit this sin also when we pronounce a person guilty without hearing evidence. A while back, I remember I was on the airplane flying somewhere, and I overheard someone say that her boss always made her look bad in front of others. Well, the first thought that comes into your mind, well, that boss must be a total jerk. That would be the first and normal thought of everybody. But that is rash judgment, because maybe it was just the boss was having one bad day, or maybe that person was really not doing her work and had to discipline her to set an example for the others. We can't judge in circumstances unless we know the evidence. We might even hear others talk about someone else. Well, pay no heed. That's your duty. Pay no heed, for you do not have sufficient grounds to judge. You don't have sufficient reason to judge either. It's not our duty to judge the conduct of others. Now, why is rash judgment so sinful? Well, first of all, and this is the most simple answer, it is because Christ has declared it so in the Gospels. He says, do not judge that you may not be judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. But it is also wrong because it betrays an evil and a rotten heart. Have you ever stopped to think that you judge according as you act? So, usually they who make the most unjust judgments about someone else are themselves the most guilty. We often judge others, as I said, according to how we act. So, for instance, if we would get angry in such a circumstance, we judge, well, everyone else must do the same. Or if I go away and sneak out at night, I must be doing something really evil, because we always do it. So someone else must always act the same way. That's rash judgment. It betrays an evil and a rotten heart, because you will always judge others according to how you act. Now that all this has been said, we must do our best. It's a duty to root out of our hearts this vice of rash judgment. It is a vice which harms the one judged, but it harms us as well. Because why? When we involve ourselves in the business of others, we always lose peace of heart. That's just how it goes. And we should always ask ourselves, on those days when we're feeling down and depressed, ask yourselves, have I involved myself too much in the affairs of others? Have I thought it my duty to judge someone else's motives? And usually you'll come back to that, that yes, you have done so. And we must remember too that even when we actually see something, someone do something bad or hear about it, that oftentimes our eyes and our ears deceive us. Have you ever stuck a stick into a deep part of the water, a lake? Have you ever noticed how the stick looks like it's bent in the water? And then you take it out and the stick is straight as can be? Well, that's how it is oftentimes when we see or hear the actions or words of others. We think they're sinful. We attribute bad motives to them. But in reality, it's not true. And so that is all the more reason why we must be cautious in judging. But let me give some suggestions to help you overcome this sin. St. Francis de Sales says in his Introduction to the Devout Life that we must seek remedies for rash judgments from the sources from which they spring. Now, where does rash judgment come from? Well, some just naturally have bitter hearts. All the time, they're bitter, they're critical, and all of the rest. These people, because it is natural for them to be critical and to judge others harshly, they need a spiritual director to counsel them and to help them, because it comes so natural to them. They need a spiritual director to, day in and day out, help them along the way. Some people judge rashly merely through pride. They seem to think that if they judge others harshly, that it somehow or another elevates themselves in their own eyes. These people need to be taught humility and to cultivate that virtue in their lives. Others do it in order to justify their own conduct, because if they themselves are sinners and don't want to give up their sin, well, it helps them to say someone else is doing the same thing. It deadens their conscience and makes it easier for them to live on in their own sin. These people must be taught detachment from their sins and be taught the reality that it doesn't matter what other people do. What does matter is that you, yourself, save your soul. Others commit rash judgment merely because they like to philosophize, to judge others' characters. They get a pride and a joy out of that. They need to attain greater humility. And others judge according to how they feel about someone or something. They'll always judge someone that they like. They'll judge them in a good light. And all those whom they do not like, they will always judge poorly. There we need greater charity towards our neighbors. But I'll end today with a quote by St. Francis. But he says that because rash judgment comes from pride, and those who commit rash judgment drink from the cup of pride, he says that the remedy is this: drink as much as you can of the sacred wine of charity, which will free you from these evil humors which cause you to make such perverse judgments. So far is charity from going in search of evil that she fears to meet it. And when she does meet it, she turns her face away from it and seems not to see it. Charity is the sovereign remedy for all ills, but especially for this. But may we never then judge our neighbors? No, indeed, never. It is God who judges criminals in the court of justice. To see or to know a thing is not to judge it, for judgment, at least according to the Scriptures, presupposes some little or great, some true or apparent difficulty, which must be decided. Wherefore it is said that they that believe not are already judged, but there is no doubt about their damnation. It is not therefore wrong to doubt our neighbor, no, for we are not forbidden to doubt, but to judge. In fine, those who keep careful watch over their own consciences are rarely subject to rash judgments. It is the part of the futile soul to busy herself with examining the lives of others. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.